This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's pretty cool. I think Rach just found a deep cut that no one's ever heard before.
That's nice. They're talking in the background.
Congratulations.
Like, I hope they don't say a bad word.
I wish they would have. That would make me, like, look at them go.
Oh, my God, are you a child? We're walking back from lunch today, and there's one of those Papa John's springy signs.
Yeah.
And Wheeler says to Andrew, man, if we were in high school, one of us would be going into that thing.
Yep. I told him, too, if he was my brother, he'd already be in it.
Andrew goes, I'm really glad it's not high school.
Yeah. It's not.
I'm filled with double cheeseburger. Everybody else walks 30 miles an hour back from lunch, so I'm like, I'm unconscious on my feet trying to keep up with everybody, and Kevin's like, this were high school, I'd have shoved you into moving traffic right now. And I'm like, I'm glad it's not high school.
Or you would have done that to me. That's the whole point.
Thank goodness.
I don't think Andrew would have done that. I think it's more of a Kevin thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, my friends and I, we used to do that a lot.
Is it your friends and you, or was it just you doing it to your friends?
No, believe me, I was
and going like they love it.
No, I was on the I was on the losing side of many of those battles.
Oh, that's funny.
Toughens you up.
Were there rules?
No, I mean the one rule was you're not trying to actually really injure anybody.
Yeah,
just a little bit of funny pain, not like a real thing.
So just like
no shoving into traffic.
Slow moving traffic only.
No traffic, okay. Just maybe a parked car.
Fender bender.
Like a parked car would be okay.
Oh,
do girls do anything like that other than just be horrifically mentally torturous to each other?
We just do psychological.
Yeah. We just
more
do
lasting
lifelong
things.
We just do lifelong psychological damage to each other.
Like deep insecurities.
Yeah. Do you remember when you had your first mean girl thing? Did you even realize it? Like, looking back, you go, oh, they're kind of being mean to me.
I think it was a little bit different.
Just your sister?
Yeah. A lot of my friends were in, like, the homeschool group. And a lot of times it's like girls and boys. Like, we all hung out together. I feel really, really fortunate. I didn't really have that. But also, it was not my personality to be friends with those girls. I mean, I think, for whatever reason, I think I'm an anomaly. I had zero drama, zero, like, girl group, best friends, besties. We didn't talk like that. I mean, I was just into sports and,
I remember junior high feeling a lot like prison. Like, just keep your head low. Like, you either have to fight the first day or just keep your head low.
I get you.
You know, I just kept my head low.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that, you know, in junior high, we had 11 boys in the class. It's not like,
there's no hiding.
Right. There's no like hierarchy. You're just, there's just 11 of you. You know, there's no like, you're the cool kids. Like, what are you going to break it up by twos?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just there's none. And then our high school, it had a little bit, but I mean, like my graduating class was maybe 250 people. So it wasn't a big school. It's not like...
There's a good size high school, though. I liked that size high school.
Yeah,
the same
it was
as
great.
Law school.
Yeah.
There's enough people that you know at least everybody's name, but you can find your own little group.
But it was, you know, like, our high school's all guys, so it was basically all of that stuff all of the time. Like, you'd just, like, you'd do the... We'd just do play chicken in the hallways. Like, I'm not stopping, and you're
not
stopping.
How did they afford an F-16 with 60...
Well, it wasn't like this.
$200,000 is trying to go there.
That's why they only had 60 kids.
I'm trying to think of a good way to explain how it did. When I was in high school, I graduated in 1990. So obviously it's 34 years ago. We were in a 1940s built retired junior high building. Used to be a public junior high built in the 1940s. That's what we were in for our high school. We had no pool. We had no football field. We had no real baseball field. We had nothing. And then they
moved. What happened?
Well, they moved. Well, it's always been a school where, one, there's a lot of successful people. It's just because people are paying to go there. So a lot of people have money already. But it was kind of like the working class Catholics high school in that area, right? And then there were some that were a little further north into the nicer suburbs that were a little bit higher end. Well, I don't remember exactly when it was. It might have been 15 years after I graduated. They moved to a new building. They had raised a lot of money from alumni that had made a lot of money.
They bought a plane.
And I feel like somebody super wealthy, like, left tons of money to the school and they passed away.
Yeah.
And then they moved out, built this brand new building, and have done nothing but continue to build for the last 15 years. So now they have a STEM center that's got a retired Blue Angels jet in the lobby.
Yeah. They asked a bunch of 11-year-old boys, you can have an art program or you can have an F-16 in the lobby.
Yeah.
And they all said,
I know what I picked. To be clear, it was nothing like that when I was there. Nothing like that.
I remember when I signed my first, what I thought was a big contract, and I was feeling my oats, and I talked to someone from my old high school. I'm like, can I do anything for you? And they're like, what kind of thing? I'm like, oh, I don't know, like a new basketball floor. And they're like, oh, those are only like $800,000. I'm like, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
How about one of the lines?
How about one locker?
What? The Dave Glover
locker? The Dave Glover locker. Put a nerd in here.
One engraved locker.
Room for one nerd.
Room for one.
Yeah.
Tiny pint-sized nerd.
Aww.
Yeah. I never got shoved in a locker, although I did. This was humiliating. I was next to a guy. I won't name him because he's probably a decent person now. But every day I would open my locker. 36. 14. That was my combination.
Wow.
I could have just made that up, but I didn't. It's because of that that I don't know other good things. But every time I'd open my locker, he'd slam it shut. And so I decided I was going to take the Gandhi approach, and I opened my locker up wide, and I stood in front of it, and he slammed it, and I had like a giant goose egg in the middle of my head.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That blew. That just sucked. But he was like literally 6'6", 200 pounds in seventh grade.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, that didn't really exist. It didn't exist at our junior high. Like I said, there's 11 boys in the class. There's 20 kids total, 21 kids total. And in our high school, that stuff didn't exist either, because if you did it, there was discipline in place.
Yeah.
Like, you were going to find yourself. What they did in what they did in my high school was, instead of a detention, you got work detail. So you were going to clean up. You're going to clean up garbage in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. You're going to rake leaves.
It's effective.
Yeah, so you were going to work if you were kept after school. But obviously it's different in a private school, because there's a little more hammer over your head, because they can just tell your parents, your kid can't come back here anymore.
So the town I grew up in was the lower end of the economic scale. And my mom and dad didn't have to live there. I was just explaining this to someone over the weekend. My dad was a union carpenter, so he made normal guy money.
Which was good then.
Good now. It's a living wage. You can afford to live in a normal neighborhood. Yeah. But my mom and dad probably saw that land was cheap in South Roxana back in 1946 and bought it. But no one had much money. But then there were like five or six kids that had so little money that they got free lunches, but they had to scrape the plates. And when one of them didn't make it to school, they made me do it. And I now realize, because I was probably on the bubble as far as, I mean, I don't know what else they would have picked it for. And it was goulash day. That sucked. That was rough.
It's just rough that they make you have that for school.
Goulash cabbage? What is that?
No, it's like it's a macaroni noodles, I think, with some sort of hamburger and red sauce.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Oh. It's decent.
Yeah, I mean, I remember like having it. Like, my grandma made it, but it was good. But, I mean, it sounds like a terrible school lunch thing.
I tell the story every time I tell that story, but I don't think Amy's heard it. You had to eat everything on your plate to get dessert.
At school?
Yeah, and I couldn't. I couldn't eat the vegetable. Oh. But one day, it was Texas sheet cake, and I really wanted it. And I ate buttered waxed beans. Mm. I ate everything. I drank my milk, that lukewarm milk. And I went up there. I'd never been there before. And I'm like, hi, can I get a dessert? And the lady goes, we just ran out of Texas sheet cake. Here's some bread and butter. And she literally handed me, like, a diagonally cut bread and butter.
I would have cried.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's awful. I know that
Still remember it. 60 years old. Still remember it.
Not great.
Not good.
That's so sad. I hate the whole, you got to finish what's on your plate. I hate that.
That was huge in my house.
Yeah.
Did you guys have vending machines at high school?
Yes.
Okay.
That was.
I remember the same thing. We got to
high
school.
I felt like I was on a cruise.
You know, I went from, like, you know, my grade school, again, tiny, you know, you're 20 people in a grade. and there's nothing. You have nothing in your building. It's just nothing. Then you get to high school, like, oh, there's a vending machine.
It was pretty neat.
I can get Skittles.
Have you seen those super high schools in Texas that have Chick-fil-A's and Jimmy John's
man.
In their, like, I don't know if you would call it a lobby, but
I mean,
I feel kind of bad about Phoebe having that in college. They have Chick-fil-A's and stuff on campus. But a high school.
At Alabama, my kid went to Bama for, you know, undergrad. And
condolences over the weekend.
I don't care. Good for them. They deserve some losses after what they've been doing. But that was one of the things that struck you as you go in there.
Girls
and you're like, oh, look at this. Starbucks, Chick-fil-A, Popeyes. Like that.
And it's on their meal ticket.
Right. Yeah. And the same thing.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine?
When we were in school at Miami, even Miami, like, you know, this beautiful campus, it's always been gorgeous. But, like, the fast food places on campus and we were there were run by the food service that did the
not the same thing.
No. You could go get the crappy little char burgers and all that stuff, but nothing good. And now it's all, you know, every chain you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get Starbucks on your meal plan. Yeah.
Yeah.
So speaking of the Alabama Vandy game, the fans at Vanderbilt, they pulled down the goalposts, as you do. Mm-hmm. And I guess they carried it like 3 miles down, like to Broadway, down to the river. But one of the best tweets I saw over the weekend, this guy posted, he's like, RIP to all the bachelorette crowds that are about to get hit by the goalpost crowd on Broadway because it was a hot mess down there.
I'm pretty sure they did that last year at Kansas. Didn't Kansas upset somebody really big at home?
Yeah, I don't remember who, but they had a big win, yeah.
Yeah. And I just kept thinking of you, Wheels, because you hate that.
I hate that so much.
Yeah. He's a fun guy.
Yeah, we normally suck so bad and we want a game. Let's destroy things.
Some of us just want to live a little.
Go party. Right, go to Broadway. Have a good time. Why do you got to destroy anything?
I don't want to hang out with the bachelorette
You're
ladies.
Shoving your best friends into signs.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We didn't break anything.
Which I still
You broke the sign.
No, and your friend.
I still don't understand, like, what is fun about that.
Tearing down a goalpost and throwing it in the river?
No. Well, that and, like, hurting your friend.
Oh, you're not actually hurting them.
I know. But still, it's like, oh, like, okay.
Well, once in a while, they accidentally
For reasons I won't get into, I've been watching a lot of the Three Stooges, and it just...
Wait,
you're not
reasons.
Allowed to do that.
You don't get to.
You
Sorry.
Need the reasons.
We don't get to, you don't get to.
For reasons I cannot get into.
Kurt is making me watch The Three Stooges because he loves The Three Stooges. And he's like, you just don't get it. You got to watch it.
Yeah, because
they're
awesome.
He is testing your relationship.
And I'm like, I hate this. There's nothing funny about it. It's just violence.
Wrong.
It's three toxic men making everyone else's lives harder.
Toxic.
Like, I'm just stressed.
That is the best description
it.
I've ever heard.
There's nothing fun about it. I don't get it. So
What's
then I gotta
toxic?
Come to work and deal with him throwing Andrew into traffic now.
I didn't
now.
Do it. I just said it would be funny if we were in high school.
What's toxic about three friends who are entirely codependent upon one another?
Who live together.
Who can't even go to work without one another.
Well, and every time I point this out, Kurt tells me, I think you're misunderstanding the meaning of a stooge. Like, that's the whole point of the show.
Right.
Like,
it's literally
understand.
In the name.
They're
yeah.
not called three grand gentlemen.
Why are they always poking each other in the eyeball?
I know, it's stressful. And they're knocking each other on the head. And I'm like, stop hurting each other.
Yeah, even at my most stooge level as a kid, I didn't dig it.
There's too much happening.
I will say it in Rachel's defense. I just don't get it. Like, I mean, I don't want to stereotype, but I'm like, is it a guy thing?
Yes.
It feels like a guy thing.
Yes,
it does.
Is,
I don't know that many
And I'll be honest, I don't even care
it.
That. I don't like the Stooges. I never liked it that much. Even as a kid, it was just too corny.
Yeah. I remember my dad watching Benny Hill when I was a little kid, and it was all boobs and bald guys. And I remember thinking, like, I feel like I should remove myself.
Yeah.
Like,
this I remember it was a big deal because remember it was on really late at night.
Yeah, like 10:30.
And you weren't supposed to see it. And then remember the first time I snuck and watched it, I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah. Not missing much here.
No, it's not.
Well, it's funny because that same era of the Three Stooges also gave us some of the most, like, profound dialogue-driven films in cinematic history. Like, people just, they were smarter back then. They got dialogue, and then the Three Stooges is on. I'm like,
it filled a need. I mean, obviously, right?
Yeah, but that, every generation has those things, right? Like that eventually became Jackass.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like every generation has always had the goofy, weird, crazy stuff and then like the classics that Amy's talking about.
Was there a fourth Stooge ever?
Yeah. Oh, there's multiple. Yeah.
They rotated Shemp. Guys in
yeah,
and
they
out.
Had Shemp who replaced, I think, Shemp. Curly when Curly left. Mm-hmm. And then there was Fat Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Larry, Curly, Moe.
Yeah, they were the main three, the original three.
Was Shemp ever with Larry, Curly, and Moe?
I think there might have
Shemp,
been.
Shemp replaced Curly.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Curly left, and then what's
there was
his name
Joe
left?
Something.
Fat Joe, or...
The guy that went nuts so loud.
Yeah. They had a bunch of Joes.
So,
yeah.
But, like, are the original, like, Stooge fans kind of like, oh, like, ever since Curly left, it hasn't been
I'm sure they get pretty deep into
I'm sure
it.
If they yeah, had, I'm like, sure oh. if they had, if they had, like, social media back then, yeah. Yes, I'm sure it would have been. Can't believe they put this guy, what's this guy, Fat Joe? What kind of name is that? That's mean.
I like how, I still think it's great that, like, in Bewitched... They like changed Darren's and just never said anything.
Oh, yeah, right.
That screwed me up as a kid.
You're yeah. like, wait a minute, what happened?
Yeah, one was Dick Sargent, the other was...
Dick York.
Dick York.
Wait, what?
Was it Dick Sargent was the first one?
I think so.
And I think
the first one was kind of a stud, and the second one was kind of not.
Doofusy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the first guy, like, not only did he get replaced and no one acknowledged him... But when he died, it was the same day that JFK got assassinated.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, man. So he,
jeez.
Man.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Man, I remember Jeannie. I Dream of Jeannie. Probably the maddest I ever was as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, just starting to hear puberty coming over the hill. And here's this gorgeous woman who has supernatural powers, who is completely into you and wants nothing but to please you. And you're like, don't you use your magic.
I know.
As a kid, I'm like, you puss. Like, are you kidding me? What are you? You got a genie in a bottle.
She's hot.
She's hot.
It's and not magical. Like a scary genie.
Don't you dare use that magic or I'm gone.
This isn't Robin except Williams.
Except you can do the nose thing.
No, that's Bewitched.
Oh, wrong one.
Oh, my gosh. There's huge
the genie
difference.
Like this.
Oh, Genie did the nod.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 126. Happy Monday. This is a picture, literally picture perfect day. High of 70, low of 50. Man, just love it. Good story, Dave. We hit a milestone.
What?
According to the calculations of a listener who seems to know about math, we just hit 6,000 shows. 6,250 to be exact. I mean, can't be exact because, you know.
That's a lot.
That's
6,000 shows. 6,000 shows.
So I've never thought about it. How many a year typically? So
about 260.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Which I couldn't have told you.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Gonna add that up.
I know it
see how many
stopped me in my tracks.
It is weird. Something like a show, right? You do it every day. You're performing every day. It's your job, so you don't think about it,
right?
And then the number just adds up. That's
yeah.
There. I think we probably all have different things like that. I imagine like people who love golfing, who mm-hmm. golf for years. Like yeah. I've hit 100,000.
How many
golf
miles
balls.
You've ran?
I've done that where I've done the math on the miles, and when I mean, because I think I figured out in the past, like, 14 years, I've run, like, over 60,000 miles, which, when you think about that, ooh. Makes no sense. Like,
no.
It makes no sense to me. And there are people who've run more.
How far is it around the world?
25,000 circumference. Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yep.
That's more impressive than 6,000 shows.
That's way nuttier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any fool can show up and do 6,000 shows.
I don't know about that.
three times around the world.
Yeah. Don't want to do that either.
Ugh.
Don't want that for you?
I do not want to run three times around the world, no.
I don't want to run three times around this room.
Yeah. I think I can manage that.
So if I do another 10 years, 10 times 260 is what? 2,600?
Yeah, so you'd be...
So we're not going to hit 10,000 shows.
You'd have to go a ways.
I'd have to be like...
Unless you start doing two shows a day.
Decrepit Dave. It'd be like Frankie Valli. Have you seen those videos?
Yeah.
Those are rough.
Oh,
have you seen those?
No, I don't think so.
I've heard about them.
I've seen it. I've been getting a ton of them on TikTok.
Awful.
Yeah. He goes out there and he can like barely move.
He can barely stand and he's holding his mic down by his waist and he's singing like 1970s style. You know, it's just purely lip synced.
Oh,
it's sad.
That's
he came
awful.
Out there. He said, no one's making me do it. No one's making money but me. I think we're killing it. The people show up every night. Well, they're showing up kind of right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What a great song. DGS, Happy Monday. Okay, I think I came up with a good one over the weekend. We'll see, because I was in a state, and I thought this was very interesting. I was in the parking lot of a Schnucks, and I thought to myself, and I want to ask you guys, if all the food stayed fresh forever, and you had all the cooking implements that you need, how long do you think you could survive on the current stock at a Schnucks? You don't get any more food, but everything there stays fresh. How long you think you could survive? That's all you have to eat and drink for the rest of your life.
Man.
Long time, right?
Easy, easy, like 10 years, mm-hmm. 5, 10 years,
that's what I'm thinking, too.
Mr. Beast did this.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, just recently.
Well, I guess I'm not that original.
I think he did a video where a guy like had basically a whole grocery store, and he couldn't leave the grocery store for any reason, and he couldn't, you know, he was the only person in the grocery store, and he just had to live there. In the store. And then I think there was an extra wrinkle on top where he had to get rid of like a certain amount of money's worth of merchandise a day.
I hate that I know this, but yes. He had to like buy a certain amount, like $10,000 worth of groceries.
Yeah.
Or $1,000, I'm sorry, worth of groceries like every week or something.
Yeah, he basically had to
deplete the stock.
Yeah, he had to fill carts with like a certain amount of money's worth of groceries and then push it out the door. And so, and it was like a department store almost. So there was like TVs in there. And boy, I do know a lot of, well, I watched the whole video. Anyway, there were like TVs in there. And so he like got rid of the big ticket stuff first. And then he got down to stuff that he didn't really need, like stuff he couldn't cook or whatever.
Hmm. Did he get to keep them in the Mr. Beast world?
No, it was the longer you stayed, the more money.
Okay.
Yeah, you get like $1,000 per night.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So I can't believe this is true. I'm clicking on it now. There's a Vice story that's a biologist of some kind says that the average supermarket in the UK could sustain someone for 55 years.
Whoa.
I'm not sure I believe that.
Does that count that you could take the produce and the meat and stick it in the freezer?
It doesn't really say, but in Dave's scenario, if nothing goes bad.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, if you think about, I guess if you figure out how many people shop at those stores on a weekly basis, I mean, it's a ton of people.
What's the first thing you're running out of?
Oh, good question.
Diet Mountain Dew.
That's better than my question.
That'd be my first one.
Chicken.
Chicken.
I love chicken.
I do, too.
Yeah.
What's the last thing? Dave eats all the roasters left?
And then looks at all the rest of the grocery store. He's like, well, I can't eat any of this.
When Phoebe was four, she was like, what if you're in a field surrounded by all the chickens you've eaten? I'm like, you shut up. That's creepy.
What's the last thing you would have remaining before you died? If this is it. It's the last thing left.
Sauerkraut.
Yep.
Really?
Probably have to be up there. Yeah.
There'd be some left and I'd be dead.
Might be beets.
You know what? I love roasted beets. So good.
Not a beets fan.
Yeah,
I don't know if I've ever had a beet.
They're delicious.
Ever?
I don't know.
I think that really, this show's so weird. Andrew ran into a guy over the weekend who's a big fan of the show. He's a KMOX guy, not a DGS guy.
Okay.
And said that when we came on, he was a little like taken aback, a little JFK back and to the left. And then he was like, it moved so fast, but now I'm in. Mm-hmm. So, but
good.
Yeah, we're just like, but beets really depend on preparation.
So, well, right. Beets, and I know how. I learned how to do beets. Here's what I don't know what to do with. A rutabaga. How do you make a rutabaga?
Are they real?
Yes, they're real. I just thought that was
a Bugs Bunny word.
No, it's like a turnip, rutabaga? Right?
Yes,
yeah, it's like a big turnip.
Yeah, it's a turnip thing.
Vegetable.
Definitely never had one of those.
And like a beet makes sense to me because you can put it on the grill and slice it, and it's very good. I don't know what to do with a rutabaga. Think about that every time I walk by the rutabaga aisle.
Mr. Beast tells me to get rid
it's
of some
uncomfortable.
Mr. Beast tells me to get rid of some merchandise, and I'm already pulling everything out of the produce and vegetables. And just filling it in carts. Just take it. I'm not eating it.
Man, what do you guys make about the West County Nazis over the weekend?
That was horrible.
On October 6th, nonetheless. I'm a little surprised no one accosted them. I guess I'm glad that no one did, but man, they were really out in the open there.
Yeah, Mason Jar called because he was on the way taking a kid somewhere, and he called me. He's like, he's like, there are Nazis on Mason Road on the Highway 40 overpass. I'm like, what? So I actually, I called the newsroom to see, like, hey, and what's interesting is Julie Carpenter, reporter, was on, when I was calling, she was on the phone with the Town and Country police chief. And he was saying, you know, they're not causing a safety issue right now. It is their First Amendment right to be there so long as they, you know, the time, place, manner and all of that, which is interesting because Brad Young was on with me Friday and we literally had this conversation about First Amendment rights and how the ACLU warns people when they apply for a job, like, you might have to, there's a good chance you're going to have to defend the rights of someone who is awful and racist and terrible. But that's, you know, time, place, manner, all things considered. I did hear the Town and Country Police chief said that they were getting flooded with 911 calls, which is understandable because you're like, what do I do? There's Nazis. You call 911. But he's like, you need to stop calling 911. We're aware. And then other people who are actually dealing with emergencies can't get through.
Yeah.
Real brave souls, though, not showing their faces. Real believers in the cause. Can't stand. I can't stand that. Just the idea that the way that you're born actually matters is insane, right?
Or like if what you have color any control you are, over
like,
it.
Right? You have literally nobody has any control. Yay! I won some unknown lottery. But also, if you're that big a believer and you're a tough guy and all that, and show your face. And if that means you lose your job, too bad. You either believe or you don't. Like first of all, I don't understand why in the modern time there's anybody that looks at that ideology and says, yeah, that's for me. There's a reason that the world came together to take that regime down.
Let me draw a bright line between what I'm about to say and the Nazis, because it's about Donald Trump. I don't want to be saddled with it. Donald Trump's a Nazi. But did you see what he said on Hugh Hewitt? He said they're talking about migrants, and he said, you know, they're all criminals. And Hugh Hewitt says something like, well, I don't think they're all criminals. And he goes, no, it's in their genes.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
He literally said, it's in their genes.
So, and I say this, no, like you said, drawing a line, Donald Trump's not Hitler, right? We know this because you can be really, really, really bad and still not
come
be
close.
Hitler. Yes. Yeah. However, Donald Trump, in the language that he used, he has emboldened the fringe, emboldened racists, emboldened neo-Nazis to become more visible. And social media has given them a platform to find other neo-Nazis. Because generally, there's a stigma. If you're, you know, a Nazi or a racist, you should be looked down on. You should be mocked. You should be ridiculed. There's a good social stigma on racists and Nazis. And I do think that Donald Trump and his language emboldens the fringe to say, no, there are more people who believe this way. That, to me, is one of the many dangers of Donald Trump. There are many. That's one of them.
It's also so avoidable. It's so avoidable to say any group of people, regardless of race, color, or creed, are going to have a certain number of them who are criminals. And we don't want them here in our country. They should be prosecuted in their own countries. That took me all of 2 seconds to think of and say.
Right.
That's all you have to say. But to call people vermin and poisoning the blood and it's in their genes, I mean...
Did he say not human or animals as well?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of...
It offends me as much that you don't have to do that, if you feel me, as it does that he's saying it. Like, you don't need to have that smoke around you. You can get your point across and say true statements.
Yep. But that requires thought.
Yeah, he wants that smoke around him because that's why his supporters... I'm not saying everyone who supports Donald Trump feels this way, but the worst among them are excited by the fact that he uses that language. So he wants to pay service to them. I mean, that's the whole point of using language like that. It's
terrible.
Very, very intentional.
Well,
I don't care what his last name is. Take it away from Donald Trump and insert... I mean, for all you Donald Trump people, what if it were a Democrat who was super liberal but also really racist, and they were saying things about you or a group that you care about and saying things like in their genes. Like, I can't believe it's 2024 and we're still saying it's in anyone's genes.
Yeah, we know that for a fact. And what I don't like about, this is kind of tied into the same thing with the Nazis on the overpass, but the language that's being used is the same kind of language used in wartime to dehumanize your opponent, mm-hmm. right? You didn't call them Germans, you called them Krauts, or you had some other nickname, yeah. and you've done, in every military conflict, I'm sure,
including
happening
us.
On, right, no, I'm saying including on both sides of the arguments, right? I mean, we had all kinds of slang in Vietnam for the enemies.
All the cartoons.
Right, exactly. So, but that's done so that you don't have the feeling that you're killing a human being when you're shooting at your enemy. All right, we can argue whether in a battlefield setting that might be something that's understandable. It is not understandable in the normal world when you're just day-to-day human beings. There's no need for it unless you feel like you can't make your point without doing that. Or, like Rach said, if you're trying to reach people and add to your coalition a group of people that might not otherwise join you.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think that's more of what it is. You know what? Because I mean, the vast majority of people that will vote for Donald Trump are not that. Vast majority. But that small percentage can be the difference in win or lose if you add that coalition to your group to your coalition.
And I even wonder, like, with these guys, this group, I'm assuming it's men. I mean, just from the pictures, I can't really tell. But yes, like, okay, are these deeply committed neo-Nazi ideologues who truly believe this? Or is this like a group of losers who live in the basement and are their parents' basement? They're LARPing and, sorry, forgive my slang, but have small penises and they're somehow trying to make up for it. Literally. I mean, that's what I thought. Like, are these like deeply committed ideologues? Are these a bunch of pathetic losers who are trying to find some way of feeling strong, or, you know, by like, we're gonna speak our minds? Honestly, I don't know. Maybe it's a combination of both. Maybe you pick up that ideology, that neo-Nazi racism and prejudice, because you're just a pathetic loser.
That's part of what I, you know, when you look at this dynamic, what are you achieving by believing that? And the only thing I can think of is you don't find anything in yourself that you're proud of. So you're trying to find pride in something, but you're going to find pride in something that you had nothing to do with. You were born the way you were born. You didn't do anything for that to happen. It was luck. You're just lucky that you're, I mean, random luck. I don't mean good luck or bad luck, just random luck. It's the chance. It's just the luck of the draw that your parents were who you were, and you were born in the U.S. as opposed to born in Vietnam or born in Australia or born anywhere else. Like, why would your source of pride be something you didn't do anything to achieve?
I do think that
if you want pride, go achieve something that you can be proud in.
I do think that maybe, I don't think Amy's way of looking at it is necessarily wrong, but I think it does discount that things like racism and xenophobia are deeply ingrained in our society.
Oh, I think that
as a whole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, no, I think so for sure. But like, because, you know, I think racism and xenophobia, like, that's more common, right, than true, like, neo-Nazi. Do you know what I mean? It's like, let's say you grew up in that atmosphere, but you're also a pathetic loser. Like, you're like, oh, I'm going to join this group. Like, it's a next level thing. So that's why I'm saying I'm not discounting for sure runs rampant, but there's an extra level of just like the guys on January 6th who had the zip ties and their tactical gear. Mm-hmm. That I feel like they're LARPing in a way. They're still gross and prejudiced and whatever, but they're also LARPing because they want to feel like they have some valor or something.
I know what it means, but explain LARPing to people who don't.
Live action role play, right? Am I correct on that?
Like, see people fighting as knights in the forest park and stuff like that.
Yes, yeah. So it's like
pretending that you're like a badass military operator or something when you're just like a.
And that's what I mean. I mean,
bad guy who owns a gun.
Look at this. These guys can wear this neo-Nazi gear as if they're part of some movement. Like, oh yeah, they're not doing anything. They have no skin in the game. They don't even want to show their faces. They're cowards. And racists and losers.
Wonder if we'll hear any more from him, if that was a one-off.
I don't know.
You know how, like, when something blows up in the Middle East and someone will take credit, I wonder if some group will be like, yep, that was us. We're the West County Nazis or whatever. So we get these show prep services, and anytime they mention Missouri, it's always bad. Ugh. It sucks. It's always some sort of a screwed up story. Yeah. This one's pretty light, but they listed the number one Halloween candies, top selling candies in every state. Anyone want to guess what Missouri's is? It's a bad one.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it those?
Nope, not that bad.
The coconut ones?
It's a candy bar.
Right, the coconut ones.
No one likes. Yes, Almond Joys.
Oh, my God.
I love
They're
Almond
the
Joys.
Worst.
There we go.
They're so good.
We figured out who's buying all these Almond Joys.
And Mounds.
I just started asking what the difference was, and I started singing the damn Almond Joys got nuts. Mounds don't.
Hey, they made it easy for you.
They did.
I mean, that's like a 40-year-old jingle.
I'm still
there.
Singing it.
Someone who loves Almond Joy, I cannot believe that it's number
one.
You
must have made a haul as a kid.
Yeah, who buys these?
Amy's like, she's 16 on the corner. I'll take them all. You guys just drop them in my bag. Yeah. No trade, because you're going to throw them away anyway.
I don't think I even give them out. Like, if I buy a big...
Oh, no, I won't even get the package that has those.
It's the candy bar equivalent of Grape Nuts. Like, no kid wants
Oh, no, Grape Nuts are way better.
No, kids don't like Grape Nuts.
This kid does over there.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.